Good morning. Excited to be here today. And you've caught us right in the middle of our Simplify series. And I know God's been challenging us to get some things right and to simplify our lives, because really when it comes down to it, it's about loving him and doing what he's asked us to do. Everything else is the outflow of that. And as we follow that commandment, I believe that God's going to bless us in every area of our life. And just excited for you to be here today. I love the fact that it doesn't matter who's here, but the presence of God always shows up. If it's five, if it's 500, he just loves when we worship together. And so I just encourage you to really foster that atmosphere, not only here on Sundays, but also during the week. If you are practicing the presence of God, I promise you it's going to go with you everywhere. It does not disappoint. And so as we go into the message today, I really hope that God's going to challenge you and really just bring some things up into your life and really get some things straight, because I know he's about correcting those wrong things in our life and making those crooked places straight. That's what he does. You know, when God comes into our life, he makes those crooked things straight. He makes those things that are not working work. And those things that we think that are working that are not his will, he takes out of our life and says, let's try something different. That's just who God is. And so as we look in the book of Proverbs, great book, there's really a scripture in here that it really sums up the what Christianity is really about. And it says this: many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. And so if you have been walking with Christ for any length of time, you know that it is not about your will, but it's about his will. And that his purpose supersedes your purpose. And that sometimes it's very difficult to get into alignment with what God wants for you, but we know that in the end, it's best. But the issue that we have is the way that we take in that process. And sometimes it can be very difficult because we don't see the outcome all the time, but God requires us to trust him. And we don't necessarily see what he's asking us to do as far as, hey, what is this going to cost me in the long run? But we know it's going to cost us something. You do know that following Jesus is going to cost you something. That it's not just something we come into it and we expect that God's going to give us something. It's going to cost us something. And one of the greatest examples for us is the story of Abraham. And as Abraham was given a promise, and that promise was years in the making, but when he got that promise, God asked him to do something that superseded Abraham's purpose and really superseded his natural, rational mind. And as we go into that today, I want you to be open to maybe what God is asking you to do in your life. And because we know that God gives us something, doesn't mean that God's not going to ask for it back along the way. And many times we think that, well, things are ours, and in reality, they're not ours. We are stewards of those things. And so along the way, God will come in and ask us for those things back. You know, the Bible says that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. So whether God gives you something or whether he takes something away from you, you can know that God is still good and that his love does endure forever, and that if you still needed it, we said it last week, it would be there, because that's who God is. And so Abraham, we're going to pick it up in verse 4, and we're going to backtrack, we're going to go forward, but you're going to get something out of it here. And it says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. And so if you know anything about the story, you know that God said, listen, it's time for you to sacrifice your son. This is not a baby boy. This is a person that he has been in relationship with and has done life with. And it says, now it's time for you to sacrifice your son. And can you imagine what was going through his mind when God asked him to do that? But nevertheless, he started out on a journey. And then when he got to that point in the journey, he told the servants that were with him, he said, listen, it's time for you to stay here while me and the boy go over and do what God has asked me to do. And maybe that you're at a point in your life, or you have been at a point in your life, where God has asked you to do something that you did not want to do, and that it was going to cost you something in your life. But in the reality of it is this, is that Abraham had come so far in his faith that for him, there was no turning back. So turning back. He had already seen God do some great things in his life. And I would be so bold to say even here that for you, you have already seen God do some tremendous things in your life. And so God would say to you today, listen, you do have a choice in the matter. But in reality, there's no turning back. I brought you through too much. I've shown you too much. And so Abraham is really at the point of no return where he has to go and do what God has called him to do. Can you imagine the type of faith that he had? Now we know that Abraham was not perfect. But can you imagine the type of faith that he had to say, okay, we're going to do this. And he saw the place in a distance. And the Bible said the place that God showed him. And he said, listen, stay here while I go. And along the way, you know, the boy is just thinking we're going along for a stroll to make a sacrifice. Not realizing that the sacrifice was going to be him. And so as you begin to look at the story, and guys, put the other scriptures up. As we begin to look at it, it says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, father, yes, my son. Abraham replied, the fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And so witty, Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb, knowing that it was going to be his son, for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. And I want you just to picture this in your mind. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out to his son and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, saying, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. He said, listen, we've got to go. I've got to go do what God has called me to do. What he was saying was, this is as far as you could go. Because what I have to do next is between me and God. There are certain things in your life, and there are certain people in your life that God has called you to do life with, but it is seasonal. And there are certain places that God wants to take you into that not everybody can go. And so you have to realize that while yet beneficial and while that their presence is great in your life, sometimes you have to let them stay where they are and you have to move on with God. Because you know that your business is not with them. Your business is with God. And so they're going to have to wrestle with the fact as far as what that looks like for them. But in yourself, you have to know that am I willing to do and am I willing to be obedient to what God has asked me to do regardless of the cost? Now, you know when he said, we'll come back to you, but you know on the journey back, it was that relationship was never going to be the same because of what he saw God do in that moment. I want you to think for a moment and picture the fact of what Isaac actually did. The Bible didn't say he resisted. The Bible says that he was bound and he laid himself up on that altar. Do you know what that is a picture of? That is a picture of God the Father and Jesus' relationship. And how Jesus willingly submitted to the Father and said, okay, not my will, but your will be done. And imagine the look that took place between Isaac and Abraham as Abraham raised up with that knife to slay his son. And that look, willingly, Isaac willingly laid himself on that altar and said, listen, not my will, but your will be done. If God wills it and if God wants it, I'll submit to it. Not as a baby boy, but as a young man. As a young man. Willing to trust that what his father was doing was in his best interests. And can you, even in yourself, and imagine what Jesus went through in the garden, willing to trust the Father, knowing that, Lord, I'm going to put my life into your hand because it is in my best interest that I do this and I willingly trust you. Willingly. Could he have resisted? But he willingly laid his life down out of obedience. Isaac willingly laid his life down out of obedience to his father. And so even in your own life, what are the things that God is asking you to do, to lay down and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. I want to be obedient to you. Isn't that the real test? You can say that you love me. You can say that you want to go the distance. But when I come and I ask you for something that is important, even a promise and a blessing that I've given you, am I really first still? And this is the challenge as Christians. because it can get exciting and serving Jesus is great. But really, when it comes down to it, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Narrow, and few who find it. Abraham showed us that he was willing to take the narrow road in order to follow God's purpose. And the question for you is this: are you willing to take that road, even if it's difficult and even if it's hard, and say, God, I want what you want, not what I want? And this is not easy. It is not easy, because you grow accustomed to being comfortable. And God is not into you being comfortable. He comforts those that are in discomfort, but he is not interested in you being comfortable. And so he will come in and circumstances will be arranged in your life to assure your uncomfortability, because he wants to make sure that he is still first in your money, in your relationships, in your life. And so God will take you on a journey, and it's a journey specific between you and him, not anybody else, away from everybody else, and say, listen, will you do what I'm asking you to do regardless? And we'll test you in this, test you. Because that's how good is. That's how good he is. He wants to be first in your life. So the question today is this. Number one, is God asking you for something? The second thing is this. Is he still first in your life? Could it be the reason why he's asking it is because the test is, are you still going to put him first? You know, we get along in our life and we're doing great. And God has a way of invading and interrupting our progress in our life and saying, listen, that's not the way that I want you to go. I want you to go this way. That doesn't make sense to me. Lord, you gave me this son. I'm in a relationship with this son. I love this son. You promised me this son. It doesn't make sense that now you're asking me to go and sacrifice this son. That doesn't make sense. Well, in reality, I'm really wanting to know whether or not I'm more important than your son. I'm more important than the blessing that I've given you. And I think for most of us in here, we would say that, yes, God is more important. But the difficulty is that when you have to give up a dream, and then you know God has placed in your heart, you have to give it up and say, look, give it to me. And in time, yeah, I'll give it back to you. Or trust me that I've got something else for you. I've got something else better. So what you think that you want isn't necessarily what you want. I've got dreams and stuff that I put inside of you that I want to awaken. But what needs to happen is I need you to give me that thing that you're believing for. And really, I need you to give me back the thing that I've already given you. I need you to give me back your wife. I need you to give me back your kids. I need you to give me back your job. Because if I'm really Lord, then you'll trust me that if you give me something, I'll give something better back in return to you. Okay, and so where do we see that? First of all, he says, number one, in your money, you can test me. Especially in this area, you can test me. You put me first. You make me first priority in your life. See if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to contain in your life. Well, I don't see that right now. Well, your life's not over yet, is it? Right? And so we always think about that in monetary, but God, he blesses us with opportunities too, does he not? Sometimes we're asking God to bless us with money, and God says, listen, I've given you creativity. Start to think about some of the things that I place inside of you. So we want God to bless us with stuff, and God says, well, listen, I've given you opportunity. Work that. Believe me for that in your life. Because how do you know that God doesn't want to bring some stuff out of you and develop you and show you some skills that you thought you did not have, but you actually do have? And if it wasn't for the season or the issue of lack in your life, that stuff never would have happened and came out in your life, but it forced you to seek God better. It forced you to ask God and get wisdom. It forced you to learn. It forced you to do some things. And all of a sudden, God is showing you just how blessed you are in your life and just how skilled you are in your life, but it did not happen unless there was some lack in your life. That's how God does it. It caused you to do some stuff different. And so I want to bless you, but I'm more interested in you and your development. Don't you think that this was part of Abraham's development? You know Abraham. You remember the promise. Father of many nations. Your descendants were going to be like the stars and the sand. You know, us today, right? Don't you think that that was part of his test? If you complete this test, you have no earthly idea the magnitude of what I want to bring as a result of this test. People are going to sing, he didn't know it, but people are going to sing songs about you thousands of years later. They're going to make up crazy moves and motions to that song. Had many sons, all that stuff. You don't even know. You're going through a trial right now. I'm laughing at it because I see in the future what's taking place. And isn't that how it works with you? We get discouraged and we're frustrated and we're all bent out of shape. And God's laughing at it because God knows that as a result of this, what's going to take place, not only in eternity, but now in our life right now. He said, listen, my purpose so supersedes here that I'm laughing right now. I'm not laughing, God. I'm laughing. And God can give you joy in the midst of that. And that joy becomes your strength. God is so good that even in the midst of that transition and the journey in your life, God gives you joy because he knows that that is your strength in your life because you know without it, you would never make it. And so Abraham completes it. And God comes in and says, listen, now that I know you won't withhold anything from me in your life. And the question today is this. Are you still holding on to things that God is asking for? Are you still holding on to it? Sometimes so desperately, we want to hold on to the past or bang on the doors of the past and hold on to what worked before. But it was work. God said, listen, it worked then. I'm doing something different now. You can't work that thing now and expect you're going to get the results that you got in the past. I'm doing something different now. Isn't that what God is? We sing songs, and we sang that third song today, and we talk about touching heaven and God doing something new in our life. Well, in order for God to do something new in our life, we can't rely on the old. And so if we continue to rely on the old, you can't experience anything new. It's counterintuitive. It doesn't work that way. But it does require that we do something different. And so if you're expecting God to do something different in your life, you could expect that it's going to require you to do something different in your life. That's just who God is. And the change takes place in us so that we can be a blessing to others. How do you know that the very thing that you're not going through right now is going to enrich and bless someone else's life? The skills and the things that you're learning right now are not going to be used to touch other people's life and help their life lift. Because we're so focused sometimes on what's happening with us and we get so inward focused that we don't realize that God is actually doing something and expanding our community and expanding what God wants to do in the world. And if we could just see what God sees, it would change our perspective. Change our perspective. I'm going to talk about Maria for a little bit. A couple weeks ago, we were talking about the process and actually getting to the point of and loving the process of what God's doing. And she said, you know, Pastor Rishi, I got to be very honest with you. I don't think I'm ever going to love the process. Just because what it takes. And I said, Maria, I agree with what you're saying. But we could agree that there are benefits to the process. You don't like going through it, but there are benefits to the process. Sean Eckert last night looked at me and said, man, your legs are getting huge. And I said, well, I've been working them, okay? I don't like the process necessarily going through it, but I'm working out, right? I'm doing something in my body to get my body into a position where it needs to be, not only physically, but what it's doing is it's transcending into my life mentally. It's helping me emotionally, and it's connected in every area of my life. But you've got to work it. It's that process. And so it's that journey. And so God comes in and says, okay, we're doing something different. And how many of you know when God is trying to do something different in your life? You understand it and you know it. You keep trying to go back to the old thing and it's uncomfortable because God won't let you go back there. But you want to. And it's like this the whole time. And God, there's nothing there for you. Nothing. But it's comfortable. No, there's nothing there for you. It's this way now. I don't like this way. It requires to be humble. Yes, it does. Because I don't know about this way. But he says, I know about this way. I know the way you should take. And that when this way is over, you'll be refined. You'll be new. You'll be a different person. But trust me in the process. Isn't that what it's about? We talk about God making all things new, and he does make all things new, does he not? But it requires us being in with him. Sometimes, like, we want to be new, but we don't, like, want to do the things that cause us to be new in our life. But it's the beauty of who Jesus is. He does a work in our life, and we don't see the big picture, but when he does reveal the product, we like it. We don't like what it costs us, but we like it. And you can actually enjoy it. Abraham, no doubt, is a different person. You're no doubt a different person than you were a year ago in the process. Why? Because you stuck in relationship with him, and God has done some things in your life because you know that without him, you wouldn't be here today. Impossible. Impossible. And so I'm asking you to stay planted with me. Am I still first? First. And the joy is in saying, yes, you are. Because you realize that you don't have the attachments to certain things like you used to have before. And that's a great place to be. Listen, if God is freeing you right now from entanglements and freeing you from unhealthy patterns and relationships in your life, you need to be praising God right now, because God is loosening you from things that have had a hold on you, and that you are actually becoming his and his alone. And listen, it is exciting, a better version. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Listen, send him a kiss. Lord, for the things that you're doing in my life, thank you. For the things that are not there, thank you. Because it's caused me to seek you. It's caused me to trust you. It's caused me to get on my face. It's caused me to stand strong. It's caused me to focus. Thank you, Jesus, for the things that you're doing in my life, because I am a different person than I was yesterday, and I can stand firm. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, man, that I don't have to revert back to that anymore. You need to look at your life right now and see where you came from and where you are now, and thank you, Jesus. You know, some of you have been in some crazy stuff. I mean, crazy things, relationships, crazy patterns, and God trying to say, listen, if you'll let me do it, it's been a struggle. I'll break it off of you, and I am breaking it off you, and you'll like the new you. You're going to like it because, listen, you're not going to be swayed, and you're not going to walk in as much fear, and you're going to be confident in your life and know who you are. And listen, and actually enjoy being you. Do you know some of you, you're just getting used to you, because you really haven't seen the you, real you, because it's been buried under so much stuff. And God said, listen, I'm trying to take all that stuff off of you so you can actually see the value and the treasure that you are and actually enjoy you. Because I'm telling you, once you start enjoying you, you'll start enjoying life and start enjoying others, because you won't compare yourself to other people. You'll be okay with some of your dysfunction, which is weird. God says, I love you anyway. I'm okay with that stuff. But you'll actually begin to just enjoy stuff and know that, listen, I am who he says I am. And I'm going to do what God says I can do regardless of what's taking place in my life. You know, the very things that are happening in your life right now are for your benefit. For your benefit. No, yeah, for your benefit. Get that out of your mind right now, for your benefit. We talked last week about God being a God who disciplines, not because he doesn't love us, but because he does love us, and that peaceable fruit of righteousness comes up in your life. It's for your benefit, so that you can live in that peace. You can live even in that transition and that difficulty in your life. You can still live there, believing God and still moving forward, and know that God's going to do things. The things that God actually promised you, he does actually want to do in your life. He does. But what he's more interested in seeing the real you. The real you. And so God is getting you ready to bring you up front and center. I'm not saying on a stage. I'm just saying front and center of life. So that he can raise you up as a trophy and says, this one's mine.
look what I've done. But he wants to see you not the way you see you. He wants you to see how he sees you. Chosen, not forsaken, blessed, highly favored, highly loved, beloved. Free. Not just like a little free. Free. You know how we get, oh, I'm a little free. No, free. Utterly free. So that you can believe him without suspicion. I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. The type of God who sings over you, who dances over you. And you finally get to a point where you don't allow the enemy to pull you down anymore. And to drag you down in despair, and to drag you down in a doubt. But you actually are so aware of who God is in your life and so fixated on who he is that it doesn't matter. Come life, come death. I'm his. Isn't that what Paul said? For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Can you get to that point? Can you imagine getting to that point in your life where it doesn't matter? Because my life is his. I know where I'm going. I know who he is to me. And that is the very thing that can carry me through anything in my life. Let's all stand up to our feet. Just a sweet presence of God, so you might be uncomfortable, but it's okay. We're just gonna hold for a minute. I just want you to open up. We even sang it today. Open up and believe again. I think a lot of us get to that point in our life where we shut down and we don't open up. Because we're afraid. We're afraid of pushback. We're afraid that God doesn't want to do it. But I believe that God wants us to open up again, stay open to what he actually wants to do. He hasn't forgotten you. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. You are God's kid, God's child. And it actually sings songs over you. We're going to go into the song we sang today. And I want you guys just to tune everything else out. Just be honest with him. And allow the intimacy to penetrate your heart. because he's real, and I believe that he continues to love us no matter what we're going through. And he wants us to recognize that his presence is with us wherever we go.
Jesus, have your way.
Every hand in the air. Every hand. Lord, we open up again. Lord, help us to open up again so that we can trust you and to know, Lord, that you're still good and that your promises are still good. And, Lord, that they're yes, and we say amen. We say so be it. We thank you, God, that the best is yet to come in our life, that you who have begun a good work will complete it until you come back. We thank you, God, that you're faithful. We thank you, God, that you're true. We thank you, God, that you don't waver. We thank you that we can trust you. God, we know, God, that your plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us a hope and a future. And God, I pray this week, God, that you would help us to linger and to listen with you more. God, that we would just hold a little bit closer to you. God, that we would just put our ear a little bit more attentive to what you're speaking to us. God, I thank you, God, for breaking us free from chains. God, I thank you for breaking us free from past sins, hurts, failures. And God, that we will rise up and be the people that you've called us to be. God, that we will walk like it is in heaven on earth now. God, that we don't have to wait to get there. We thank you that it is done now. God, we thank you that we are healed now. God, we thank you that we are whole now. God, that we thank you we can have confidence now. God, we thank you that we can endure now. God, we thank you that we can believe now. That we can walk in prosperity now. God, that we can know you as provider now. That we can know you as healer now. That, God, we can know you as deliverer now. God, that we can know you as the truth now. God, that we can know you, God, as the God of all gods. There is none like you. God, that we can trust you, that you supersede everyone else. God, that there never will be anyone like you, that you don't lie, that what you say, you promise. And God, that what you say you're going to do, you will perform. And God, I pray that your people would walk in power. God, they would walk in might. They would walk in a sound mind, not worried, not confused, not delirious. God, that they'll walk in pure confidence, not wavering, in freedom, knowing that you are our beloved and our beloved is mine. And God, that you love us. God, not only do you have a purpose for us eternally, but you have a purpose for us now. And that anything, God, that the enemy is going to do that he can't do, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that every tongue that rises against us, we shall condemn, because we know who we are. And Satan, we tell you that you are a liar right now, and that there is nothing that's good in you whatsoever, and that we are the children of God, that we will do what God has called us to do, and God, that we serve notice on you right now, that God is God, and that you are not, and that we will be the children of God that God has called us to be. And we thank you that today we can walk in victory, that even though we haven't seen it, God, that we can walk in authority and place you underneath our feet where you belong, that you will not torment, that you will not bring confusion, that we will walk in freedom, that we will walk in truth, and that we will see your kingdom come and your will be done. And God, we will see you do great things in the lives of your people, because that is the inheritance that you called us to. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Sing all I want. And all I want is to live within your love. We adore by who you are. My desire. Thank you, God.